few people would go through as much as I did to get a job. When I was 8 years old, I decided that I was going to be a newspaper reporter. The day I graduated from high school, I started hanging out at the Sun offices until I pestered my way into an advertising messenger position. 2 months later, I was promoted to copy boy. About a year after that, I made editorial assistant. Now, I was going to school. I was at Johns Hopkins at the time. And the Sun, in its infinite wisdom, gave a full-time college student the following schedule. I had 2 nights of midnight to 8, 1 morning of 7 to 3:30, and 2 afternoons of 3:30 to 11. So I had my entire college career in a haze, but not alcoholic. Now, why, after a year and a half on the job as a Sun City reporter covering cops and covering general assignment, was I standing in the middle of a racetrack dining room, sweating, figuring I'd just blown my career, and rooting against the horse I just told everybody to bet on? And that's where our story begins. I have a vice. I gamble. And I attacked that vice with the same obsession that I wanted to be a reporter. I learned everything there was about horses. I know a fetlock from a forelock. I can tell you how fast the horse is going to run, when he's going to run, and when he's going to win, or at least sometimes. So I'm in the clubhouse at Pimlico, in the dining room on a Saturday, and I'm winning. And I'm walking up and I'm cashing tickets. And at a table behind me, unbeknownst to me, are the Sun City editor, 2 assistant editors, and the production editor, and another high-ranking reporter who would soon become a state editor. All these people are my bosses. And I'm walking away from the window, and one of the editors comes over and says, "You're winning. We haven't cashed a ticket all day. Who do you like in the next race?" His name was Don McKenzie. He was the production editor. I said, "Don, I really like the number one horse, Top Knight. But I can't stop there. I'm 23 years old. I'm going to impress the bosses. This horse not only will win, you can go bet your money and just stand at the window. He's going to take the lead coming out of the gate. He's going to go around a first turn, and he's just going to jog these horses to death. He's going to finish the race under a hand ride and win by at least 8 lengths. The race starts, and it goes exactly as I predicted. The horse takes the lead, goes around the first turn in front. He's turning for home. The jock loosens him up a little, and poof, off he goes. Dick Woolley, who was the announcer of Pimlico at the time, is shouting into his microphone, and it's Top Knight. He's in front by 8 under a hand ride. The next thing I know, I've got 4 editors at my table. We win 2 of the next 3 races. Everybody's happy. They go home. A couple of weeks later, Don McKenzie comes to me and says, "We all want to go back to the track for you with a whole day. We were very impressed the last time." Who doesn't want to impress their boss? So off I go. On the way down, you never tempt the gods of gambling, and I did. I was young and full of hubris. I'm asked questions. "Well, are you just lucky? Do you know?" No luck involved. Believe me, horses are athletes. They have past performances. If you know how to read the past performances, you can predict the future. Like I'm psychic. So there's no luck involved. We get a table in the dining room. Everybody puts money into a pool. I'm going to bet the pool. First race, we bet a horse. Coming out of the gate, the jockey falls off. Second race, our horse is blocked along the rail. He can't get through. He finishes third. Third race, our horse wins. They're very happy till the objection sign goes up. He's disqualified, placed last. I have now had a year's worth of bad luck in the first 3 races, and already the eyes are starting to look like, he really knows what he's doing, and our money is disappearing. Comes the 6th race, I still haven't cashed a ticket, but in the 6th race was a horse I totally loved. Horse's name was Malaga Bay, and I did the same thing to him that I did the first time. This horse is going to sit third behind 2 speed horses. The jock's just going to sit there on him. These two are going to go out ding-dong with each other, tire each other out. Malaga Bay's going to inherit the lead. He'll sprint to the wire, and that's it. I said, I'm going to take all the rest of the money and go bet Malaga Bay. So down to the $50 window I go. Now, in Bowie, in those days, the tote board was in the middle of the betting area, and you could look up and see. For some reason, I turned and looked at the tote board just before I got to the window. Malaga Bay was the 3 horse, but he was 4-1. And I turned to the guy at the $50 window, and I said, "Give me the 4 to win 10 times. I walk all the way back up to the table, sit down, and realize that I just spent $500 of other people's money on the wrong horse. And now I'm thinking, these guys, I will become the Sun's permanent obituary writer when this is done. That's my future. I don't even know who the four horse is. They're loading in the gate. I've got no time to change the tickets. And they're off, and the race goes exactly as I predicted. The horse is going, two horses up front are just ding, I mean, they are flying. And Malaga Bay's happy, his face is up in the air, the jockey's just sitting on him, and they just tired, they drift out, and he takes the lead. And I'm going, oh God, somebody, please. They're screaming and yelling, and I'm going, please, somebody beat this horse. They thankfully didn't notice. I was sort of underwhelmed at the moment. Around the far turn, I noticed this flash of pink silks making a move. I'm thinking, I don't care who you are, just beat this horse so I can tear these tickets up, please. Now this horse goes so wide, he blows the turn, you think the jockey went for coffee in the grandstand. He's coming down a far outside, Malaga Bay's on a rail. Now you can't see from the clubhouse dining room, because it's at the end of the stretch, any relation as to who's where and what. But all you can hear is the crowd screaming and the announcer screaming, so I know it's getting close. And down the stretch they come, ba-bum, 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 and right at the wire, two noses on the wire. The editors are looking, did we win? Did we win? Did we win? They're all happy. And I said, I think maybe we did. I don't even know who this horse is. So I looked down. First of all, the four horse that I bet was named Swanky Yankee. And guess who had the only pink silks in the race? Swanky Yankee. 5 minutes. 5 minutes the judges looked at this photograph. I'm dying. They're happy. They think they won it. The board posts up 4 first, 3 second, 1 third. Now I'm faced with a moral dilemma. What do I do with these tickets? I have 2 tickets. What do I do? I have all these tickets. I've got $500. Swanky Yankee, by the way, was 25 to 1. So the first moral dilemma was solved. They're looking at me like, definitely he's going to Siberia somewhere. He's not going to be around the newsroom much longer. And I took the tickets and I laid them down and I took half the moral stance. I said, I have the winner. I changed my mind at the last minute. They're all happy. We cashed the ticket. It's worth over $12,000. Everybody gets their money. Now there's a postscript to this story. A couple of months later, the Washington Post started a column with Clem Florio, their racing writer, where they gave him $1,000 mythical money, and he would make bets every morning. The Sun, in those days, actually was a competitive newspaper, and they wanted to do a little better. They wanted to not only have somebody bet the races, but they wanted somebody to write a column and do the Damon Runyon kind of stories. So the editors came to me and said, we were really impressed with what you did that day. Will you do the column? And I said, sure, why not? This could be fun. And I liked running around. The racetrack's like the circus. You meet characters you'll never meet anywhere else. So doing those stories was going to be great. And having the $1,000 is fun. And it's great for your ego. If you can pick racehorses, I mean, that's like being a whiz on Wall Street. Nobody else can do this. You're going to make points. So for the magnificent sum of $5 a day, I became the only 7-day-a-week columnist in America. About 4 weeks into the column, I looked in the entries, and a familiar name appeared. And my column that morning began, Swanky Yankee Runs Today. And I fessed up to the whole story. I learned 2 things that day. First was, when Don McKenzie came running over to me and said, we all thought you picked that horse. You wouldn't have this job if we knew you had the wrong horse. And the second was that I had a good poker face. Okay. They want me to make a prediction for this week's Belmont Stakes on Saturday. Chocolate candy first, mind that bird second, charitable man third. You heard it here first.